JG 1. Number 9A.
We go on and see then that what is this concept of a holographic universe that we must know because everybody is reading the book by, I think, Talbot saying called the holographic universe, and they're all saying, and this is Christian Science. Oh, this is exactly what we teach. But it's not what Mrs. Eddy teaches. That's brainology. That's the study of the brain and its image. It is not Christian Science. We work with the realm of mind and its idea. But we must know that the world is working in the mental realm with holographic images. If you want to call idea divine hologram, fine. But you see, this is where the danger comes from getting into these books without an understanding of the divine system of reference. Oh, everywhere is mind and its idea. It's that. It isn't. It's... Sure, mind, it's the same thing you can say yes and no. Yes, it's mind and its idea seen through a dark glass, and that dark glass are the misconceptions of the brain, which is making it an illusion, a reversed image. Now, a hologram came from the concept, as Carl Prebum told us, in optics. And it's a special type of an optical storage system, he says, that if you take a holographic photo of a horse and cut out one section of it, the horse's head, then enlarge that section to the original size, you will get not a big head, but a picture of the whole horse, where every part contains the whole. So... what they do, and I only am going to explain it very simply, is it's done through laser optics where you have a plate that has the image on it, and they send through that plate laser beams, and the laser beam goes through that plate, and as it bounces off various mirrors and et cetera, et cetera, it will project what is on that plate as a three-dimensional object through a series of laser projections through an original plate, through a systems of mirrors and reflections. Out comes an object. It's like, you see, here's the plate, and just in a simplified way, though this is a more complicated way of showing it, in a simplified way, here's the photographic plate, and when the with all its patterns on it, and you don't see the image on that plate until you pass a laser beam through it, and when the laser beam has passed through it, it objectifies the image. And what that image is a hologram. It's a three-dimensional form of what's on the plate. You see, we take photographs today with our camera, and what we get are these nice little flat pictures. Like Denise came up and showed me a picture of one of the members of her family, a nice one. And it was a flat picture, wasn't it, Denise? That's what our camera does, a two-dimensional representation. But a hologram is a third-dimensional representation of that plate. But the nice thing about that hologram is you can run your hands through it, you can run a wand through it, you can walk through it, and it still goes right on. Whereas the photo from a camera, you can tear up and throw away. It's subject to entropy. Death. Don't like it, throw it away. But whereas a hologram, in order to get rid of it, you have to get rid of the original plate. If I don't like the image I see, I have to take the plate and throw it away. Because a hologram is just something extended in space as a third-dimensional image. Can we see? We've seen holograms. My goodness, did anybody see Arnold Schwarzenegger's Total Recall? There are holograms in there. That's where he appeared in two places, and they couldn't tell whether it was the real him or the not real him. It was a holographic image of him. The unreal him you could walk through and shoot and everything, and it wouldn't die. The real image was mortal, as Michael just showed me there and flashed up on our Visa card. We have little holographic images, huh, of a bird flying. In a Disneyland, here in California, we go into the haunted house. We saw a beautiful hologram of a woman. She talks and everything. It's a head. That's a hologram. The ghosts in there are holograms. It's like, here I am as the original plate, and I would just be flat, and you'd shine a laser beam through the original me, and out there would be me standing out in the audience. And I would be talking to you and everything. But you could walk through me. You could shoot me. You could do anything, pass a wand through me. I'd continue talking and giving my lecture. It's an objected, three-dimensional image. The only way you can get rid of that hologram is to get rid of me. So this is what happened then, is that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. Mind creates its holographic universe called idea, which is an image in mind. And so the same thing with the brain. It creates its holographic image. It's projecting an image out there. It's like this projector. Let's call this projector the holographic plate, huh? And what is projected is an image. Where does that image exist? Does it exist on the screen? It exists here on the plate, doesn't it? Now, I can go up there and I can do everything I want with that image, you see, but I can't get rid of the image on the screen until I turn off the projector. So that's a two-dimensional image. If this projector was a laser beam, it would be projecting this image on top of the projector as a head, as we have on the screen, as a hologram in third dimension. And I could be passing my thing through it. So this is that holographic universe. And the universe, they say, is holographic. It exists as an image in some universal mind, not divine mind yet, some kind of a universal, let's say, field of information. They say it's a reservoir of information that is neither matter and energy, that is programming the brain to project the image. That's in the mental. And the implications of this is far-reaching insofar as the universe, as Wheeler and these people begin to see, now takes on an anthropic meaning, meaning man is put back into the universe. They can see now that the universe itself is nothing but a hologram, that and man participates in that universe, that the universe is a field of information that is being programmed to the brain in consciousness, and that now that consciousness called man can look back at its source and can begin to look back at its origin and its source. You see, that's why they're so interested in what's the origin, what's the source of things today. In what they regard the universe as a self-excited circuit. They say the universe, symbolized by the letter U, begins with a big bang in the upper right and grows, thickening the U, ultimately to give rise to life, mind, and the observership. The nature of the perceived universe is dependent upon the act of observation. As in the diagram, the existence of an observer completes the circuit and is as essential to the creation of the universe as the universe is to the creation of the observer. So the universe is the big, is that matrix out of which, see, that what went on before the Big Bang, see, what caused this holographic universe? And they say it was some kind of implicate order, some kind of matrix latent there containing all the infinite possibilities of being. And out of that matrix of infinite possibilities, out of that implicate order, banged the universe. And that universe came forth and expanded into a holographic universe called the holographic universe, the holographic earth, the holographic man. And but what's unique is that that universe that it created is conscious. It looks back at its origin. And they say what is unique to man is that it can understand its origin. This is big stuff they're talking about, huh? So man has been put back into the picture, but still on the mental realm. What Mrs. Eddy shows then is that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. This is just a lesser symbol of what's going on in being itself. When she says all is infinite mind in its infinite manifestation, then what we see is at the deep structure of reality, according to Mrs. Eddy, is God, huh? We have that in spiritual realm now to explain the ideational universe, all is infinite mind in its ideational universe, or if you want to say all is infinite mind and its holographic universe, then that, as we know, the differentiation now between the mental and its holographic universe and the divine mind and its ideational universe are qualities. The mental is all full of beliefs and concepts, isn't it? But the difference is that we go on to step three. Our values that become the elements of reality are ideas. So we have gone from illusions to thoughts to ideas. The divine mind entertains only ideas, where the human mind entertains beliefs objectified. We go on to step three and say, well, the constituents of reality are not beliefs or thought forces, they're ideas. And those ideas now constitute the constituents of reality. And those ideas are what the divine mind entertains. She says, reasoning, in the textbook on page 467, she says, we reason imperfectly from effect to cause when we conclude that matter is the effect of spirit. But she says, the correct reasoning is reasoning from cause to effect in the science of mind. We begin with mind, which can only be understood through its idea, and which expresses it, and never from its opposite matter. So our holographic universe is always that the deep structure itself is God, and the surface structure is man, the whole in the universe, the holographic universe and the holographic earth and the holographic man. Now, that deep structure of God then is of the nature of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And as I said, that mind is filled only with the ideas of mind. Spirit is filled only with the ideas of spirit. Soul is filled only with the ideas of soul. Principle is filled only with the ideas of principle. Life is filled only with the ideas of life. Truth only with the ideas of truth. And love only with the ideas of love. Then that consciousness of God sees only the ideational universe. And therefore, she says that, according to the levels, from the infinite one in Christian Science, the science level, comes one principle, God, huh? And its infinite idea, singular, the ideational universe, divine science. And with this infinitude come spiritual rules and laws and the creation of ideas, absolute Christian Science. And their demonstration, Christian Science. So the reality is that from the infinite one in Christian Science comes one principle and its idea, divine science, and its ideas, absolute Christian Science. that one idea, the ideational universe, the whole, and its ideas, the earth and man. So, therefore, she showed us a deep structure reality, which is based on that concept then of all is infinite mind in its infinite manifestation. And she did it through the synonymy principle. And by that, we mean that she used the method of science. What came to her as a revelation that all is infinite mind in its infinite manifestation, she reasoned it out through science. She said that it came to her as an influx of light, that life was in and of spirit, in and of the ideational universe of mind here and now. And she says, but I must find the science of it. So she used the method of synonymy when she shows us there that those synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are synonymous. Therefore, they all refer to God. But they each one have ideas unique to God, different offices of God. Mind and its ideas reflect a certain office of God. Spirit and its idea, another office. Soul and its ideas, another office, as is principle, life, truth, and love. So if we take the one God through the first method of synonymy, which is just really the scientific method of, first of all, how synonyms differ, and they interchange. They sometimes differ and they sometimes coincide in their meaning. So in order to show how those synonymous terms differ, she took God, she said, and put it through the prism, she says, of science, the prism of analysis. She reduced the infinite one to human comprehension through the method of analysis. She says science is the prism of truth, which divides its rays and brings out the hues of deity, in retrospection, page 35. So you take that infinite one, God, and you pass it through the analysis process of science, and you see God, she said, was mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And then she explains in her textbook what mind is through its ideas, what spirit is through its ideas, what soul is through its ideas, and principle, life, truth, and love are through their ideas, which we know now John Dorley investigated as a subject, Max Kapler investigated as a student, and has given us the ideas of those synonymous terms Kapler has in what we call the compendiums. Now, those ideas then, Mrs. Eddy said, once we've passed science through its analysis into the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, then she says the lens of science magnifies the divine power to human sight, and we see the allness of spirit, therefore the nothingness of matter. So those ideas go through a lens. A lens is used for focusing, synthesis process, bringing things together. And finally, we arrive at the focal point of spirit. That's that fourth dimensional realm of spirit, as opposed to the brain and its holographic universe of the fourth dimension of space and time. In the fourth dimension of spirit, she says, the rays of infinite truth, when gathered into the focus of ideas, bring light instantaneously. Therefore, at that focal point, we see God, huh? We see idea. Idea, we saw, is just a real pattern. It's a pattern of God. Do we see here, when we look at that prism, which Kapler has in his book on a study aid, first the prism of God, before it's analyzed, God is an amorphous whole. It's just empty until defined. But when we pass God through the process of analysis and synthesis, we come out with the other end with a circle, but it's God defined. But it's God as a hologram. It's a holographic universe. That principle has translated itself out to being idea. That deep structure, God, has a surface structure. And that surface structure is called idea, universe, idea earth, idea man. And it is a pattern of God. We are seeing the original, but as a divine hologram. Therefore, God, we could say, was that white light, huh? Or let's just say it this way. God is the let's say that the prism, I'm just looking for an easy metaphor, an easy way of saying this. Well, let's first of all say God is the plate. And on that plate of God is the deep structure of God. And in that deep structure of God is all that God is on the science level, huh? It's the infinite one. Let's say the science level itself, and it is that infinite matrix of infinity, that infinite plate of infinity, that infinite reservoir of all the latent possibilities exist on the science level. Mind being its own infinite mind, spirit being its own infinite spirit, soul being its own infinite soul, principle being its own infinite principle, life, truth, and love being its own infinite life, truth, and love. That is the matrix. That is the plate. That's like a holographic plate. And out of that plate, God, through its self-organizing systems, projects the image of itself called idea. Divine science, the ideational universe. But it's an image of itself. What God is, the universe is. And on absolute Christian science, it projects an image of itself as ideas. That deep structure, that one principle, infinitely individualizes itself as idea, divine science, universe, and as ideas, man. The compound idea, earth, a compound idea, and yet still remains God. Isn't that how we talk about the levels? So therefore, God on the science level is really then, we would say, that potential for expression. But it expresses itself as the ideational universe, and that ideational universe is the pattern, because this is what God is on the science level. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. The matrix of infinity. And so God is projecting what itself is as an ideational universe. And the ideational universe is that same pattern of God. But it's a divine hologram. It exists as an image. And that one God projects itself as individual man in the universe. That's how we can see then that Mrs. Eddy, in her downward causation, says, and that's the object of the Christ, to take the infinite one God and produce a holographic universe. As Jean so nicely said the other day, love that isn't expressed isn't love. God that isn't expressed isn't God. So the same thing goes on. God expresses itself as idea. What's idea? An image in mind, the immediate object of understanding. What is an image? An image is just a visible representation of a concept, a replica of a pattern. The universe is idea, image, in mind. The only way we can get rid of the universe is to get rid of God, because it's an ideational universe. It's an ideational hologram. It's God appearing, the pattern of God appearing as universe. Man is the pattern of God appearing in individual ways. Same pattern, individual unique ways, yet still remaining God. The only way we can get rid of man is to get rid of God. Can we get rid of God? No, because God's the original plate. We're just images. We're just holograms. In reality, you can do anything to us. You can shoot us. You can do anything. We would not disappear. Jesus knew that. He knew he was a divine hologram. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You can't do anything with me. You can't kill me. Go try it. Put me on that cross. I'm a hologram. I will not die. You're not at the source. It's not me, but the Father. Don't call me good, call the Father. I'm not the source, God is. You're just fooling around with a hologram. Okay, hang me on the cross, I'll bounce back. I did, I came back, here I am. But I'm going to leave your holographic mental universe and I'm going to become idea. Bye-bye, the ascension. But he was a hologram and he knew nothing can happen to a hologram he had. He was only the image. Therefore, he knew everything in the universe was programmed to God. Judas, go do your thing. You can't. You're programmed by God. You're a hologram. You can only do what God tells you to do. All our life experience are God experience. They're all holographic experiences. Everything is a holographic event. It's all God going on. If we have problems with it, take it back to God. That's why if we have problems with the neighbor, we identify ourselves with principle and the neighbor with principle. And then we drop the problem and know it's up to the neighbor to identify themselves with principle and all others with principle. That the error isn't person, place, or thing. That neighbor is a holographic image of God. If it has wrong concepts of reality, that's not our problem. It's their problem. Our problem is our oneness with God. They will have to, through the phase transition, realize that if there is a problem there, that they clear it out through their oneness with God. If the problem's in us and not the neighbor, then we'll find out all right through our phase transition. It was in us and not the neighbor, then we clean it out through God. But that's how it goes. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the universe, you've seen the Father. If you've seen individual the earth, you've seen the Father. If you've seen individual man, you've seen the Father. And the universe, including the earth, including man, cannot be destroyed. Principle is presenting what we are as idea, and it is going through the phase transition of explaining the universe, the earth, and man from a physical explanation into a mental explanation. And now we in Christian Science have the spiritual explanation, and it's the only explanation. And finally, it arrives at the standpoint that we never go through this binary twofold algorithm again. We stay out only from the science level. We're subject and object as one, where it's the I am that I am, the one view of reality. It's terrific, isn't it?